Public service announcements before we begin. First of all, if you have any svarim in the bunk, bring them back. You should not bring svarim out of this building. Second of all, you were zocha to a little bit of a taste of Rabbi Rosner's Torah last night. Tonight, Rabbi Rosner is going to be giving his parsha shir at later, after night seder, at what time? 10:15. The parsha shir is something that is listened to, I would bet, by thousands across the world. Pretty phenomenal parsha shir, strongly recommended. So that's at 10:15 this evening. So let us begin. Now what we're going to do is, today, as I mentioned, we're just going to discuss the number of strings. How many tcheles, how many lavan, according to the shittos from Rishonim, and then we're going to try to get through how to paskina halacha when there is no halachic svarim, there are no halachic svarim that actually deal with how to paskin halacha. So how does one paskin halacha that was out of use for so many years? What would we paskin in terms of the number of strings? I apologize about this. So the basic shittos in Rishonim we've seen already 1,000 times. Rashi and Tosfos very clearly say that the number of tcheles strings that you have is 2 out of the total of 4 strings that one is required to have as a minimum. 2 of them should be tcheles, 2 of them should be lavan. In fact, although we call that the shita of Rashi and Tosfos, it seems that it's not just, you know, we say it like Rashi tells us one shita, the Rambam is the second shita, Rav is the third shita, but it's not just Rashi and Tosfos. It seems that the large majority of Rishonim hold like Rashi and Tosfos. The collection of Rishonim that they have in the footnote of the Masifta reads as follows. The Itur, Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, the Rashban Yevamos, the Marami Rutenberg in a Tshuva, the Rosh in Hilchos Tzitzis in the back of the Gemara, the Smak, the Yereim, the Numukei Yosef, the Tur, the Piskei Riaz, and Piskei Riaz says, and this is Rov HaMefarshim, meaning this is the Shita of Rov Rishonim. So it's pretty clear that the majority Shita, if one is into Paskening Halacha, based on majority Shitos, so it would be pretty clear that you would go with Rashi and Tosfos. That seems to be the overwhelming majority opinion, to have half the strings or two of the strings be blue and two of the strings be white. The second Shita is the Shita HaRambam, which we again saw several times in Perek Aleph Halacha Vav, where the Rambam writes that 7 out of the 8 strings are white. And then we have the third Shita, which is the Shita HaRavid, where the Ravid says that the Rambam is a Taus, that it's a mistake. The Rambam Taus is a He says you should have 2 tcheles and 6 white, which means 1 tcheles and 3 white. 25% tcheles, 75% lavan. So those are the three basic shitas. The question is, why does everybody say what they say? Meaning, the Gemara itself never tells us how many strings of tcheles to have, which is a startling omission from the Gemara. For the Gemara not to tell us how many strings of tcheles, it's wild that the Gemara doesn't do it. The Gemara just doesn't tell us. So what would lead each of these Rishonim to their conclusion? So Tosfos, thankfully, actually raises that question. Tosfos actually says, hey, what made me believe that it should be 2 blue and 2 white? So Tosfos writes, Vim Tomar. How do I know that you need 2 and 2? Maybe all you need is 1 of tcheles and 3 of lavan. Who's to say that it should dafka be 2 and 2? So Tosfos has 2 answers at first. First answer, he says, V'yishlomar kivan detrei mini bayi rachmana svaru shiyu shavin. Answer number one is, well, the Torah has 2 ingredients for tzitzis. There's tcheles and there's lavan. So if the Torah requires 2 ingredients, it's most mistaver that the 2 should be equal, that you should have equal ingredients for the tzitzis. Very, very interesting svara. Just that if we're not told other, meaning essentially what Tosfos seems to be saying, the svara is that if we're not told otherwise and we're told that there are 2 ingredients, the assumption would naturally be that they are equal partners. If they weren't equal, then the Torah should have said something. Then the Torah should have told us otherwise. So the fact that the Torah didn't tell us otherwise leads us to believe that it's even. That's one possible source. Va'ot, says Tosfos, psil tcheles ksiv, upsil mashmatrei. It says psil tcheles, and psil implies 2. The word psil itself implies 2. So if the word psil means 2, and you have to have 2 of tcheles, or at the very least 2 of tcheles, so that leaves 2 of lavan. How do I know the word psil means 2? It's a Gemara Maseches Yuma that deals with what topic? Anyone know what the Gemara in Yuma is about? It's not about tzitzis, it's about the strings of the me'il by the big day kahuna. So the Gemara describes v'kitzeitz psilim, psil shnayim, psilim dalid. The Gemara says, how do I know that we have four strings tying the me'il? Because it says v'kitzeitz psilim, psilim is plural. Had it just said psil, that would mean two. But since it says psilim, it's two times two, and that's four. Oh, so you see, psil means two, and therefore, by tcheles, when it says psil tcheles, the word psil means two. And v'lavanami lo pachos mitrei. So if tcheles needs to be two, it can't be that lavan is any less than two, says Tosfos. De kadish tvei. Because lavan is more kadosh than tcheles. Kedamrin b'gemara, demascha b'lavan, demasayim b'lavan, demalim b'kadosh v'lomaridin. Because Gemara says that we begin with lavan and we're messiah b'lavan because malam b'kodesh v'lom aridin. That we always go up in levels of kedusha. So lavan must, we have to, if we have two tcheles, then you have to have at least two lavan. Someone pointed out to me during Seder, and maybe therefore, if you were going to have five or six strings, Tosfos said anywhere between four and eight is okay, right? So if you're going to have five or six strings, according to Tosfos, if you can have five, then you have to have two tcheles, three lavan. You cannot have more tcheles than lavan, because lavan is more kedusha. That just like there's a din that the Gemara quotes over here that we already saw, they have to be makdim lavan l'tcheles. You have to stick the lavan in the beged before you stick the tcheles in the beged. Apparently, because lavan is more kadosh, so you have to be makbid that if you're ever showing preference to one over the other, it's always a preference to lavan over tcheles, and never a preference to tcheles over lavan. Where do we get this idea? Lavan is more kadosh. So Tosfos is quoting a Gemara over here. The Gemara is a Gemara we didn't get up to yet, but it's a Gemara in the bottom of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. So if you just flip the page, you'll see on the bottom of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph is where the Gemara discusses how to tie tcheles, how to tie tzitzis in general and tcheles in particular. And we're hopefully sometime soon going to discuss that Gemara. It's a fascinating machlokas. And if you look at, let's say, 10 different people who wear tcheles, you are likely to see 10 different ways of tying tcheles. So, and it all emerges from these few lines of Gemara on the bottom of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. But one of the yesodos that everyone's tzitzis has is that when you tie it, it always begins with white and ends with white. And it has to be that way because the Gemara says that. The Gemara says, Tanak shu maschil maschil belavan. When you begin, you always have to begin with white. Haknaf min knaf. Ukshu mesayim mesayim belavan. And when you conclude the tying, you have to be mesayim with white as well. You have to conclude with white as well. Mishum, the Bach adds in the word mishum. Mishum malin bekodesh velo maridin. Because you always have to go up in Kedusha. So Tosfos says, what does that mean? You're Messiah and Belovin because you have to go up in Kedusha. It must mean that Lovin is more Kedush than Tcheles. So that's why we're tying Tcheles the whole time. But then you got to do Lovin afterwards because that's an elevated level of Kedusha. I was somewhat surprised when I saw that line in Tosfos and that line in the Gemara, you know, because we're normally taught to think that Tcheles is so regal and royal and special. It reminds us, the Gemara is going to say later on in the parak, that the Tcheles reminds us of the ocean, which reminds us of the sky, which reminds us of the Avodah Zarah, it reminds us of the Kisei HaKavod. So unbelievable, it reminds us of the Kisei HaKavod, unbelievable, right? You would think that that's the loftiest thing in the world. And yet he says, Lavan is more Kadosh than Tcheles. Now, the only way to argue would be to have some other interpretation of that Gemara. Meaning, if you want to argue on Tosfos and you want to say, no, Lavan is not more Kaddish than Tcheles, well, then you're going to have to explain that Gemara in Daf Lamed Tes. You're going to have to say, what does that Gemara mean when the Gemara says that that Lavan is that Malam Kaddish Lo Meridin, that's why I'm Messiah B'Lavan. So I looked around a little bit in the Rishonim on that Gemara, and you'll find in the back of your Gemara, it's good to familiarize yourself with what's in the back of your Gemara in Maseches Menachos. If you flip through the pages toward the back of the Gemara, and you look in the pages of the Rush, for example, before we get all the way back, so you'll find the Rush has Halachos Ketanos, Hilchos Tfilin, and then he has Hilchos Tzitzis, meaning this is where the Rush discusses all of these Halachos that are very Nogei Lemaisa, of Hilchos Sefer Torah, Tfilin, Tzitzis. And then you go a little further in the back of your Gemara, and you'll find the Marsha, followed by the Otsim Mefarshim, which is a more recent invention that they put all the different achronim together in one chicken soup in the back of the Gemara. And then after the Otsim Mefarshim and the Yifei Anayim, you get to pages that are pages of the Rif. Now, normally when you find like pages of the Rif like this, you normally have on the side of the pages of the Rif, who do you normally have? Which Rishonim you normally have on the side of pages of the Rif? You'd have the Ran or the Nemukah Yosef, depending on what Masechta you're learning. In Brachos, you'd have Rabbeinu Yonah, or really Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah, because unless Rabbeinu Yonah just likes to quote himself a lot, because it constantly quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, so it's probably Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah in the back of Masechta's Brachos. So you have the standard Mefarshim. Now over here, in the back of Menachos, so in general, Kadshim, the Rishonim didn't write on the Poskim, the Rishonim. Those Rishonim that were poskim, the Rif and the Rush, didn't write on Kachim, so they didn't write about Karbanos, because there was no halach lemaisa about Karbanos. But they did write on things that were halach lemaisa. So Menachos in general, you're not going to have standard Rif, and therefore if you have no Rif, you're not going to have Ran, because the Ran is nothing to comment on if there's no Rif, and you're not going to have normal Rush. You're not going to have the Rush where he deals with halacha. But the sections of Menachos that deal with Tefillin and Mezuzah and Sitzit, so that obviously the Rif has to talk. Now on the side of the Rif, you have a variety of different Rishonim. So you'll see Piskei Arash, the Rashi, and the Nimukei Yosef. So if you look on Daf, Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Bedape Hariv, so on this Gemara, on this line, where it says, Malam Bekodesh V'lo Maridin, look at the Nimukei Yosef on the bottom of the page, on the fourth line of Nimukei Yosef on the bottom of the page. Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Bedape Hariv, Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, on the bottom of the page you have Nimukei Yosef, fourth line of Nimukei Yosef. Malam Bekodesh V'lo Maridin, he's talking about this Gemara that we end with white, because of Malam Bekodesh V'lo Maridin, Lo Mishum Shahalav Anchashuv Minatcheles. Ah, finally, someone who says against Tosfos, not that the Lavan is more Chashuv than Tcheles, how do I know it's not more Chashuv? Shatcheles Domel Kisei HaKavod. The Tcheles is Domel to the Kisei HaKavod. How could you possibly say that the Lavan is more chashuv than the Tcheles, like Kisei HaKavod? So what does it mean then? Ela dekivan de ha'aso lelavan tchila mitam haknaf min knaf. Since we have to start the tying with Lavan, because the pasuk says haknaf and we darshan min knaf, that you have to start with the Lavan. Ein moridin oso. Once you've promoted Lavan to the point that you've made Lavan that which you start with, you've made it first, you cannot demote it afterwards and not have it finish. V'yasu mimenu kesher achron shu kiyum abinyin. Meaning you at least should make the kesher achron, the last kesher with it, that's the kiyum abinyin. That's what holds the whole structure together, is that last knot. So you need that last knot, the lavan, to participate in that last knot, because it would be a demotion for the lavan if the lavan didn't participate in that last knot. So it's no, there's no kedusha to Lavan over Tcheles, says Nemukei Yosef. But Tosfos obviously holds that there is Kedusha to Lavan over Tcheles. Now, Tosfos then goes on to say that I gave you two reasons why Lavan and Tcheles should be even. First reason is Svara, it's logical. If you have two ingredients, it should be the same. Second one is that the word Psil means two. Then Tosfos spends the next three, four lines showing you that his second reason was incorrect, that the word psil does not mean two. But we have this drasha, psil, shnayim, psilim, arba. The Gemara has a drasha. The Gemara is not darshing the word psil to mean shnayim. The whole pasuk is v'kitzet psilim. V'kitzet psil, shnayim. When you cut a psil, you have two. Why when you cut a psil do you have two? Because a psil is one, and when you cut one, you have two. V'kitzet psilim, you have four. Because if you cut two psilim, then you have four. But the word psil clearly means one, not two. So the Tosfos says this whole idea of psil meaning two is incorrect. And he says, and it's really beferish in the Sifra as well. He quotes, first he quotes the Sifri, Parsh Shalach, Parsh Kitzetze, V'aslam tzitzis, So, Tosfos points out that the Medrash has a machlokas Beisham Beisilol, also fascinating, that Beisilol holds that you need three strings in your tzitzis, Beisham holds you need four. The Gemara is going to quote this also. And we passing like who? Beishamai. So it's a very unusual thing that we pass on like the Beishamai about this, that we have four strings in the tzitzis. How does Beisilol hold you need three? Where does he get it from? From the word gedilim. That Gedilim means three. Says Tosfos, if Psil meant two, and Haknaf means one. Why would Beis Hillel need Gedilim to teach three? You would already know three. Psil means two. Haknaf is one. That's three. You wouldn't even need Gedilim. Elamai, what do you see? That Psil really means one. And Haknaf means one. And therefore I need Gedilim to teach me that it's three. So he says from the Medrash also it's clear that Psil only means one. And then he says that when the Medrash suggests that Psil Tchelas is one, and the Medrash therefore suggests that how many strands of Tchelas do you have out of the four? One out of the four is Tchelas, right? One out of the four, which is two out of the eight. That Medrash is Cholek al Hashas Shalanu. It's against our Gemara. Our Gemara tells us would say, like I say, two blue, two white. But the Medrash clearly says one blue and three white. Yeah, we don't have to listen to the Medrash. It's against our Gemara. How many problems do we have with this? With these few lines of Tosfos? I mean, I can't even count how many problems we have with these few lines of Tosfos. Yeah. What? No, he already fixed it. He said the Gemara does not say psil means two. The Gemara says v'kitzetz psil means two. That when you cut, the key word is v'kitzetz. When you cut a psil, you have two. But psil really only means one. So how many problems do we have over here with Tosos? Well, first of all, his svara is a very svara svara. What kind of svara is that? The svara is, well, there are two ingredients. It must be that it's even. Mechitesi, that it's got to be even just because there are two ingredients. Second of all, that he says Lavan is more kadosh. Seems a little bit odd that Lavan would be more kadosh than Tcheles, like the Nimukei Yosef points out. Third, when something is more kadosh, does that mean we need more of it? Think about things that are more kadosh. We have kedusha on a lot of different levels in Judaism. We have kedusha samakom, kedusha sazman, chefza of kedusha. So think about kedusha sazman, for example. What's kadosh? Where in zman, time, kadosh, Shabbos. So that's why we have 6 days a week of Shabbos and one weekday, right? Because kedusha needs to be more. If you can have something that's kedusha, it needs to be more. Is there a rule like that?
No.
Kedusha is never more. You don't actually have 6 days of Shabbos. Just, you know, I don't want you to go home and think. So okay. Kedusha is man shviyas, Shemitah. Now it's beferish in the Torah like that, so it's not just working misvara. But still, meaning where does he get this rule that when something is more kadosh, that you need more of it? In fact, when we tie the tcheles and the lavan, the Gemara is going to go through the krichos. The first one has to be lavan, last one has to be lavan. What about all the other ones in between? Right? The first time you wind around is lavan. The last wind around is tcheles, is lavan. What about all the ones in between? Many of them, if not all, are tcheles. So, but you're saying, oh no, but lavan is more kadosh, and that's why I need more lavan strings than I need tcheles. Well, then why don't I have more lavan wines than I have tcheles wines? I should need more wines of lavan than tcheles. Mehechi tesi, that just because something has more kedusha, that it means you need more of it. I found that very strange. No, did this bother anyone else? This seems very odd. Everyone's looking at me like I'm from a different planet. No, am I wrong over here? I didn't see anyone ask it, but it seemed very odd that kedusha means you need more of it. When did the Gemara say that you have to treat lavan with respect? That it should come first. That because maybe, you know, lavan has to come first in the. But why does the Gemara say it has to come first? Because it's more kadosh. That's why it has to come first. No, it's because it's haknaf comes before tcheles, and even if it. Look, it is true that things that are more kadosh do come first. The Gemara has a very well-known concept called Tadir V'Sheino Tadir Tadir Kodem. It's a Mishnah, Mesech Zvachim. The less known concept is the Mishnah that immediately follows it, or precedes it, I don't remember, Zvachim Peites. Where the Mishnah has the concept, Mekudosh V'Sheino Mekudosh, Mekudosh Kodem. That which is more holy comes first. But that which is more holy has more? I don't know.
Why would you be able to even do any blue prequels? Based on we're saying if it's, it can't be more, then if we're saying...
Right, so how were you able to switch from the white to the blue in the first place?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
But wouldn't it only be logical that
But one, I hear, but one could also argue that it sort of loses its specialness if it's, yeah, if it's always, meaning Shabbos wouldn't be Shabbos if it were 6 days a week. You know, it would lose a lot of its. Yeah, but Be'echi Teis is that numbers matter when it comes to Kedusha.
It has a special Kedusha, be like, kind of disrespect for the Kedusha for there not to be as much love on.
Is it a disrespect for Shabbos to have okay, but I just don't see that. Meaning, maybe the Torah is being megala to us how Kedusha works. That Kedusha doesn't have to be the majority. Kedusha just needs to be there, and that's what makes it special.
Then why would you have three tefillah? Well, that's a sfarak.
Okay, meaning. So that's another issue that bothers me to Tosos. I don't really get the idea that so again, the svar is difficult to understand. The idea of kedusha, of something being more kadosh, therefore having to be more strings, is difficult for me to understand. But the biggest thing that's difficult for me to understand is what Tosos means at the end when he says, and even though the Sifri says you only need one strand of tcheles, it's cholik al hashas shalanu. It disagrees with Talmud Bavli, and when we have a machlokes between Talmud Bavli and the Sifri, who are we going to pass in like? Talmud Bavli. We always pass in like Talmud Bavli over the Sifri. So that part I believe, we definitely do that. We definitely go with Talmud Bavli over Yerushalmi and Bavli over the Sifri and everything else. There's only one problem. The whole basis of this whole machlokes between Tosfos and the Rambam and the Ravid is that the Talmud Bavli never says how many strings of Tchelis you're supposed to have. It never says it in Shas. So Tosfos says, so we have one place in Chazal where the number of tcheles, strings is actually said explicitly. And that one place in Chazal says, you should have one string of tcheles. And there's no Gemara. So what do you do when there's only a Medrash and no Gemara? Of course you follow the Medrash. What's he talking about when he says that it's cholik on the Talmud Bavli? It's not cholik on any Talmud Bavli. Now, he might be referring to the Gemara that when it speaks about putting eight strings in, where it seems to be assuming you have four of them being tcheles and four of them being... Right, he might be referring to that, but it never really says it straight out that you need two strings of lovin and two strings of tcheles.
Which is how strong he thinks it's already.
Yeah, but meaning, let's be honest for a second and say you may think you're sorry, but to call it against the Gemara, it's not against the Gemara. So those are the difficulties, the challenges with Tosfos. Sorry.
We're in the Sifri, does it actually say that tcheles? Doesn't it just say you need three strings total?
Well, psil is tcheles, so psil would mean a string, and then you have the two of.
It's not explicit in the Sifri that means one string.
He thinks it is. Let's see. Chut echad, yeah, chut echad. No, the chut echad is av minu. Yeah, but he's saying the Sifri is clearly working with the idea that psil gives you one string. And then the rest are just to be mashlim the number. So psil is the tcheles, that gives you one, the rest are just to be mashlim. So, a number of problems with this Tosfos. Just to add to the confusion a little bit, the Kesef Mishnah that I gave you, I it's important to see that part of the Kesef Mishnah, but there's another part of the Kesef Mishnah that's equally, if not more, important. Does anyone have a Rambam here in the actual book? Oh, got it. Okay, thank you. So, the Kesef Mishnah on that Ravid. The Ravid says, The Ravid says, to Tcheles six lavan, says the Kesef Mishnah, ukidvarav kasva Tosfos. And Tosfos says, just like the Ravid. Tosfos says, just like the Ravid. No, he doesn't. Tosfos says, like Tosfos. Not like the Ravid. What was the Kesef Mishnah looking at? What? The Ravid says 2 and 6. Tosfos says 4 and 4.
So it was 1.
Ah, so what the Kesef Mishnah might be referring to, if this is all we knew about the Kesef Mishnah, we could easily say what the Kesef Mishnah is referring to is the fact that at the end Tosfos says Psil means one. So even though Tosfos doesn't pass him like that because he thinks that the Gemara is against Sifri, but that which he says in the Sifri, that Psil means one, and that the Pshat is Psil means one, that's what the Ravid is assuming like. So the Ravid passes like the Sifri. That's what the Kesef Mishnah means when he says that the Ravid is going like Tosfos, not like Tosfos' Psak, but like Tosfos' understanding of the word Psil. Oh, but if you look at the Beis Yosef, you see, now, Beis Yosef, who wrote the Kesef Mishnah?
Same person
who wrote the Beis Yosef. Maran Beit Yosef, Rav Yosef Kaira, wrote the Kesef Mishnah, also happened to write the Shulchan Aruch. If you look at the Beis Yosef, it's wild. Beis Yosef quotes the Ravid also. And Beis Yosef in Simin Yalv, I don't think I put it on your sheets, but the Beis Yosef writes like this. I'll read it to you. It's one line, it's very easy to follow, even Baal Peh. The Haravid Kosov Allah, the Ravid says about the Rambam, Ta'us Huzer, Rambam, you are mistaken. Ella, Hashnayim Shal Tcheles, Vahashnayim Lavan. The Ravid says, 2 and 2, according to the Beis Yosef's text of the Ravid. Well, now you understand why the Kesef Mishnah is going to say that the Ravid goes like Tosfos. His text of the Ravid was that the Ravid is like Tosfos, is that there's 2 and 2. Which means, by the way, that according to Maran Beit Yosef, who we always paskin like, unless we're told otherwise by the Rama, we always paskin like him. The Shitas HaRavid as we know it does not exist. Very important. According to Maran Beit Yosef, nobody holds that you need 2 out of 8 tcheles. Which would mean that according to Maran Beit Yosef, now we're going to see how we pass in the halacha. Should we go like the Rambam? Should we go like Rashi Tosfos? There are people that go with the Ravid. That's the most difficult to defend. Why would you pass in like the Ravid when Maran Beit Yosef doesn't just not pass in like the Ravid? He says that it doesn't exist. Yeah? So now in the Kesef Mishnah's version of the Ravid, it's unclear to me whether those headings and the captions were actually written by the Kesef Mishnah, or just the printer put the Kesef Mishnah's comments together with the caption. So it quotes the Ravid's comment. I wasn't sure if the printer added that in, and then you just have the Kesef Mishnah saying V'chein Kasev HaTosfos, or if the Kesef Mishnah actually wrote that first part. Because on the side of the Rambam, in the words of the Kesef Mishnah, he quotes the Ravid the way we have the Ravid, not the way the Beis Yosef has the Ravid. So I don't know what happened. I don't know if that was just added by the printer, or if maybe he changed later on and he found a different version of the writing.
He said Psil is one.
He said because he says Psil is one, he just says Chayin Kosev Baal HaTosfos.
I'm sure that
did I give it back? I give back. I missed that. The time will show Rabbeinu. No, that's explaining the Rambam. Rabbeinu is the Rambam. Okay, so a couple of little ha'aris and tosos before we move on. No, I already said all my ha'aris and tosos. Okay, good. So that's so again, the three ha'aris and tosos is that there's an alternate girsa in the Ravid according to the Beis Yosef. According to the Beit Yosef, there's this alternate Girsa in the Ravid where the Shita of the Ravid doesn't even exist, and that might be what the Kesef Mishnah meant. Oh yeah, there's one more thing I wanted to say. When I was looking through the Beis Yosef, I found the following startling line. Listen to this one. Also blew me away. Ubismag, and I apologize, I just found this morning. Ubismag Kosov. In the Smag it says, okay, we got to find another Rishon. Shnayim shalavan ubeis shel tcheles, like who? Rashi tells us. Oh, gimel shalavan ve'echad shel tcheles.
Like the Ravid.
Or the Ravid. What's he talking about? You have an option? The Smag says whatever you feel like, whatever you want to do, just... Is that for real? You could just choose whichever one... So it happens to be the Rizina Rebbe we're going to see thinks that that's reasonable to say that you'll choose one or the other. The Smag says you have options. Says Beis Yosef, no, he doesn't. That's ridiculous. Rishonim Paskin, they don't just give you options. So what's he doing? V'nira delo ba lemechas leplukta b'milsa delo nafkal anmidi b'hai zimna. He says it's not nogea b'zman hazeh anyway, because we don't have tcheles, so it doesn't matter how you paskin. So he doesn't want to bother paskining, because why should he paskin on something that has no enough kamina l'maisa? Vachli kamer perish dalu chut b'knaf l'mar beiz shalavin ubeiz shal tcheles l'mar gimel shalavin ve'achol k'tzaso. And then he says, unbelievable. It sounds like he quotes two shitos. What are the two shitos? Rashi and Tosfos, and you said it before, and the Ravid, the fake Ravid, right? Beis Yosef says, what he means when he says, oh, Gimel Shalavan ve'echot shel tcheles, what he meant was, Gimel Shalavan o ve'u miktsas shel echot tcheles. Rambam. Why doesn't he mean the Ravid? Because it doesn't exist. Says me, Beit Yosef. There is no Shitas HaRavid. It doesn't exist. So in the Smag quotes two Shitos, he's really quoting Tosfos, and in shorthand he's quoting the Rambam, but it sounds like he's saying that fake Ravid, but he can't possibly be, because that fake Ravid doesn't exist. There are only two Shitos. There's Rambam and there's Rashi and Tosfos. Yeah. So he says, yeah, one means Miksas of one. So Beit Yosef, black on white. I was as shocked as you are. Right here, you can look it up. Yeah.
Well, according to this question before, according to that, the smag, even let's say he can give him an option, how could the smag even say you can give him an option? Because either it's one or the other, meaning you can either,
it's a problem, it's hard to say. It doesn't, can't mean options. Okay. Rambam Shita, instead of just explaining the Rambam, just the explanations of the Machlokas Rambam Ravid, whether it's half a string or one full string, we've seen, let's just try to tally up the different explanations we've seen of Machlokas Rambam Ravid. So we already saw yesterday that Rav Salvechik explained the Machlokas Rambam Ravid is that everyone agrees you need one string of Tcheles. They argue about what the definition of a string is. Is the definition of a string as what's going to be hanging down in the end, so one of the eight is a string, or is the definition of a string what you put into the baguette, which would mean, like the Ravid, you'd have to put a whole string of blue. So that would be one explanation of the Machlokas Rambam Ravid. We saw a while ago Rav Schechter's understanding of the Machlokas Rambam Ravid on the one hand versus Rashi Tosfos on the other hand, where Rambam Ravid both assume that Tcheles is used as a winder and only as a winder. It's not really an ingredient in the mitzvah of tzitzis. It's just a winder around the tzitzis. But the tzitzis is defined by lavan. And Rashi doesn't understand that, no, tcheles is an ingredient in the tzitzis, just like lavan. In that case, what are the Rambam and Ravid arguing about? They're just arguing about whether it makes any sense to have half a string of blue, whether the Torah would have required to take a string and do half with one thing and do half it with tcheles, half with lavan. Now the Ravid just didn't think it was mistaver at all, that's what the Torah was doing. But everyone agrees that tcheles is just a winder. The Emet Bracha, which I did not see inside, and I only saw it in the Masifta, and I typed it up in your Mar Makomos straight from the Masifta, the Emet Bracha has a similar understanding to Rav Schechter, except instead of saying that it's a machlokas between Rashi Tosfos on the one hand versus Rambam Ravid on the other hand, he says that's goof on the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. The machlokas Rambam and the Ravid is what is the function of tcheles? That according to the Ravid, the function of tcheles is that it's an ingredient in the tzitzis. You have to have one string of tcheles and three strings of blue, of white, and that's it. It's an ingredient in the tzitzis. But the Rambam understands that the entire function of tcheles is to be a winder, is to wind around the tzitzis. Well, then there's no need to make both sides blue. You only need one side to be blue because you only need tcheles to wind around the tzitzis. So the Emek Brachas is very, very similar to what we saw from Rav Schechter last week, except the reason I pointed it out to you is because he, instead of drawing the line at Rashi and Tosfos on the one side and the Rambam and the Ravid on the other side of the line, he draws the line right between the Rambam and the Ravid. That's why I wanted to show you that Emek Brachas. Great. Now, how do we paskin? Now that we know all the shitos, and we know that the Ravid may or may not exist, the Rambam definitely exists and seems to have strong support in the Sifri, or Rambam or Ravid, someone that seems to have strong support in the Sifri, and we know that Rashi and Tosfos, Rove Rishonim, hold like them, but there are significant problems with the Sheet of Rashi Tosfos. So how do we decide? How would you paskin on something like this? So Rav Schechter goes with the following Mahalich, a little bit different than the Rezina's Mahalich, and I'm going to see a different Mahalich in Pesach Halacha. Rav Schechter's Mahalich is that It's true that for years and years no one had tchelas to paskin how many strings of tchelas to put in. But the number of strings of tchelas affects many other areas of halacha. The number of strings that we have tchelas in does play a role in halacha. And even from the stamma de lishna of poskim, when poskim talk and they mention tchelas, and they say, when we used to have tchelas, listen carefully when poskim talk. Even if they're not talking lemaisa, it's almost like sicha schulin of talmidei chachamim. And if they let it out that when we used to have two strings of tchelas and two strings of lavan, we used to do this, but now we do this. Even if they're not paskining how many strings of tchelas, but if it's coming out in their stomach the lishna that way, then you know that's what they really held, and that's authoritative enough. So there are two ways to tell how we paskin. Again, number one, if there are any halachos that are affected by how many strings of tchelas we used to have, and how we paskin those halachos. And number two, if just the poskim use a language and let out through their sichas chulin, through just talking, how many strings of tchelas you used to have. So if Shechter and Ginas Egos, if you look in the Ginas Egos, which I photocopied for you, on page 4, Vina Rishonim Nachlaku Peminyan Chutei HaTcheles, Shel Das Rashi V'Tosus, Mithilin Beis Chutei HaTcheles, Shem Arbal, Das Raivit Chutei HaChadachim, Arbal, Das Raivim Rachachachachim, Meir Shmona, Sovim Bedam Echlazon, Vayin Tos Ksubas, Dibra Maskel Kugon, Shekafl Divrayim Bezeh, Gamlin Klein Betzitzis, Tal Shnei Chutim Amrin An Hutra, Val Shnei Chutim Tchuyah, Ayin Shem Divir Rabbein Tam, Tosin Ksuvus also says 2 and 2. V'chein Ayin Mishnah Brura, Simen Tessiv Katan Zayin. Umechaber, Simen Yud Beis Sif Aleph, Le'inyin Gardumin. Sheviyu Dasar Rabbein Tam Bazel La'alacha. So he says, we have Poskin, Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Brura, who assume like Rabbein Tam, Titamid Osem Beis Chutit Ches Beis Chutit Lavan. V'chein Ayin Mishnah Brura Simen Tessiv Katan Yudal B'Shem Amalbin. That two strings of other material and two strings of wool is fine, because there are two parts of mitzvah tzitzis, lavan and tcheles. Now, where are these mishnah? Did you look at the mishnah brurahs themselves? Take a look at the mishnah brurahs. Shulchan Aruch. Take a look at source number 6. Yeah. Take a look. Well, source number 6, maybe we should save for Gardumim, because that's going to come up in Gardumim. Source number 7. Take a look at source number 7. Yesh list topic. Ki ein kan min knaf, v'gam gedilim tasa l'chameyem, enum l'gamri. Now, here's the part. V'ayin ba'artzos l'chayim. Who's the artzos l'chayim? The Malbim. Shach just quoted from the Malbim, that he says it from the Malbim. Artzos l'chayim is the Malbim. The Malbim wrote a sefer on Shulchan Aruch that made it through Hilchos Tzitzis, and then it conked out. And he didn't get past that. I think the story they say was that I once read, when I was in Karen Biavna, I was reading something about the Malbim, like a Malbim biography to go to sleep at night or something for myself. And it said that the Malbim, first of all, he had a terrible life. He was persecuted wherever he went. Everywhere he went, they hated him. And he was always fighting the Maskilim. He spent his whole life fighting the Maskilim, so his life was miserable. And in one place he went to, one time he went to visit the Chassam Sofer, and he had just started working on a sefer on Shulchan Aruch after he had gone to visit the Chassam Sofer, and he went into the shul and he sat, I think he said, either in the Chassam Sofer seat or somewhere, like he didn't know, he just sat down, and the Chassam Sofer said something like, what are you doing there? You shouldn't be in that place. And he said, oh, he's telling me I shouldn't be in halacha, I should stick to Tanakh. I don't know, some strange story like that. So he quit. So he stopped writing on halacha. I don't know, an odd story. I just remember something like that. So he misunderstood the Chassam Sofer and he stopped writing halacha. So we have the Malbim in the very, very first part of Shulchan Aruch, but nothing beyond that. So the Mishnah Berurah, you'll notice, Mishnah Berurah quotes Artzos HaChayim, the first few simanim of Shulchan Aruch, and then he doesn't quote it afterwards because it doesn't exist afterwards. We only have a little bit. So Ayin Artzos HaChayim Shekasav. So the Malbim assumes shnei, right? That the idea was that the two chutim that are min knaf And then another two chutim that don't have to be min knaf. Why do two chutim not have to be min knaf? Because those are the two chutim that represent tcheles. Great. So you see it there. Then the Mishnah Berurah again in Simen Tesiv Katan Zayin. Pirish to bezman shayit tcheles shayit sarach latil dalit chutim shnei chutei lav and shnei chutei tcheles. Back in the old days when they used to have two and two, so you could use whatever material you wanted because we didn't have to worry about shatness. Now, there's a difference between these two comments. The first comment of the Mishnah Berurah is talking about a halacha. Something about a halacha. How many you need to be min knaf, how many you don't need to be min knaf. That halacha depends on how many strings used to be tcheles. The second comment of the Mishnah Berurah, he's not really talking about halacha. He's just mentioning parenthetically, in the old days when they used to have tcheles, you used to not have to worry about shatness at all. But instead of just saying, in the old days when they used to have tcheles, he says, in the old days when they used to have two strings of tcheles, two strings of lava. So remember I said before, there are two ways you could tell how to paskin when no one paskins. One is, if it affects the halacha in some way, bizman hazeh. And the other is if it comes out like a sichas chulin. It just happens to come out. These two Mishnah Berurahs are not the same. The first one, he's commenting on something that affects a halacha. That because there was shnei tcheles, so that's how many you're allowed to have that are not min knaf. That's a halacha. The second comment of the Mishnah Berurah is not a halacha. It's a sichas chulin. He just happens to mention, oh, in the old days when he used to have Shnei Chutei Tcheles, Shnei Chutei Lava. But he does say it. He does say Shnei. So both of them are Rai's, but the Rai's in very, very different ways. Then Rav Shechter goes on to say, and you should know that if you need to paskin something that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin on, so we have a very simple thing that we should do. We should try to figure out what would the Shulchan Aruch say. So what's the Shulchan Aruch's rule? What would he say? I mean, if he never said anything, we have to figure out what he would say. So what would the Shulchan Aruch say over here? We know what the Shulchan Aruch definitely won't say. He won't say Ravid, because he thinks Ravid doesn't exist. That's for sure. So he'll either say what? Rambam or Rashi Tosfos. In general, what does Shulchan Aruch do? Rambam. Shulchan Aruch is very loyal to the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch says, whenever you have Machlokas Rishonim, I always go with Rambam, Rif, and Rush, the majority opinion, Rambam, Rif, and Rush. What if the Rif doesn't say anything? So you go with the Rambam. Rambam, because he's Sephardic, so Shulchan Aruch says he always tries not to argue with the Rambam. In fact, whenever he can, he even quotes the exact Lashon of the Rambam. So it's clear Shulchan Aruch, probably Shulchan Aruch would have gone with the Rambam. And what would the Ramah have done? Tosos. Why? Does the Ramah always go with Tosos? I mean, Rav Shechter used to say this, so he used to bother me a little bit. He would say, obviously the Ramah would have passed like the Baliyah Tosos because that's what he always does. Really? Always? 90% of what it says in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah doesn't argue with. He sticks with whatever the Shulchan Aruch said. And if you play a bunch of places, he tells you to follow the Baliyah Tosos. How do we know? How do we know in this case he would have followed the Baliyat Tosfos? So if you ever read the introduction to the Darkei Moshe and to the Ramah, he says pretty clearly that I'm a big fan of the Ramah. I'm a big fan of the Rif. I think they're wonderful. But when you have an overwhelming majority of Rishonim that go against the Rambam and the Rif, how could you in good conscience paskin like the Rambam and the Rif against everybody? He says, I don't like the methodology of the Beis Yosef, the Ramah writes in his introduction. It's important to read introductions. He said the whole methodology of the Beis Yosef, you know what the Beis Yosef writes in his introduction? He says, there are so many dozens of Rishonim. You go out of your mind if you try to make sense of all of them and try to figure out how to paskin, taking into account everybody. You can't. You just can't take everybody into account. So let's knock everybody else out. Look at the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rush, unless they don't talk about it. Look at the Rambam, Rif, and the Rush, and that's where we get our Pesach Halacha. He does give a secondary list of people who should be taken into account somewhat, but that's only when Rambam Rif Rush isn't conclusive. But if you have a conclusive approach to Rambam Rif Rush, go with that, and life is simple. And the Ramah says, that is wrong. You can't do that. You're going to take dozens of Rishonim and marginalize them? All of Gedolei Ashkenaz, all of the Baalei HaTosfos, and just marginalize them? You can't do that. So Rav Shechter means when he says that Mestama b'nei Ashkenaz would pass like Balei HaTosfos, it's not just because it's Balei HaTosfos, it's because it's what? Remember the list I read you before? It's that big list, 10 Rishonim. Those are all important Rishonim. Some of them you think, they're like, Yireim, who learns the Yireim? The Ramah learned Yireim. He did, he writes, it's the list that he gives of what he views as important Rishonim is pretty much everyone on that list. So those are all important Rishonim, and that's why probably Ashkenazim would paskin like the Balei HaTosfos. However, he adds, Rav Shechter adds, Va'av shehuva b'shem Agra, even though it's quoted in the name of the Gra, Shayu Meshuchna shebevadei ein halacha b'zeh k'Rashi v'Tosfos, that the Gra was convinced that we don't paskin like Rashi and Tosfos. Thing about the Gra is that the Gra very often, even if he didn't have support from Rishonim, wouldn't mind so much arguing on Rishonim. If he felt he was right, he would argue on Rishonim. There are very few and far between, but very special Achronim who never were makabel not to argue on Rishonim. The Gra, the Shagas Aryeh, even the Ragachavar tried to stick with Rishonim. He just thought the Gedolei Achronim were worthless. He thought the Gedolei Achronim weren't even worth looking at. There's a lot of stories like that, and they're all true. So, what? You have to look. Rav Zevin has a sefer called Ishim Veshitos. Rav Zevin was a Ben Bias by the Ragachavar. And Ishim Veshitos is a phenomenal book. If you ever, if you're decent at reading Hebrew and you ever have some downtime, it's a fascinating book. He has like a chapter on a selection of Gedolim. From the last 200 years or so, where he gives a biography of them, but not a biography the way we think of biography. You know, his favorite color was blue, and his favorite team was the Yankees, and he had this many brothers and sisters. Like he doesn't care about that stuff. It's a biography of their brains. You know, this is how they thought about this, and this is how they thought about that. And so he has like a chapter on each of the Gedolim that he selected. I don't know how he selected who he selected. So each chapter is like 15 pages. And then he's got like 80 pages on the Ragachavar, because he was Ben Bias by the Ragachavar. He was a big chassid. So all the stories we have of the Ragachavar, a large majority of them are from Rav Zevin. Like a lot of the, and all the stories that I always thought weren't true, you know, where the Ragachavar said something like incredibly insulting to somebody or something like that, you know, they're all true. Rav Zevin has them all in Ishim Beshito. So the Ragachavar was a very unique kind of a personality. But I don't know. I remember if it has that story of him ripping out the Tosfos in there. You have to look in Rav Zevin. It definitely has a story where someone came over to the Ragachavar and asked him for a bracha, and the Ragachavar said no, because he doesn't give brachas. He wasn't, even though he was a chassid, he wasn't interested in giving brachas. He was Lubavitcher chassid. He wasn't interested in giving brachas. So someone else who was there, another Rav who was there, said, the Gemara says that even a birchas hediot al te kalabe necha, that even a bracha of an idiot shouldn't be kal, hediot means idiot, that even a bracha of an idiot shouldn't be kal in your eyes, that it should mean something. So kal v'chomer, your bracha would mean something. So the Ragachavar said, so I have a better idea. Instead of me giving a bracha with a kal v'chomer, you can give a bracha without a kal v'chomer. He's calling the guy an idiot. That was that story is true. That it actually says. The Ragachavar was very sharp like that. Why did I mention the wrong? Oh yeah, so several achronim are not afraid to argue with Rishonim. The Gra is one of them, but Rav Shechter writes that the Gra, it's Yadua that the Gra rejected Rashi and Tosfos, but Shelo Echria Imkar Rambam Okar Ravid, but he wasn't Machria who to hold like, whether to hold like the Rambam or the Ravid. So what does that do for Bnei Ashkenaz? So he says it depends who you are. If you were part of the original Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael that all followed Minhagei Agra. You know, so follow Minhagei Agra. If you're a guy that's always makrim, right? If you have a Gra sitter and you follow along every detail that it says to do. By the way, a lot of the Gra, there are a few Gra sidurim, and a lot of them don't follow Minhagei Agra in a lot of things. They print the Gra's ha'aras, you know, the Gra's shitos on the bottom, but in the actual text of the sitter, they just have like a regular sitter in a lot of them. So they have that with Rabbi Yaakov Emden's sitter also. The Rabbi Yaakov Emden's sitter doesn't always follow Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Like it will have whatever it has. Like I think it has L'shem Yichud in some of the editions of Rabbi Yaakov Emden Siddur, which is ridiculous. Like Rabbi Yaakov Emden, like in a million years, probably went to sell L'shem Yichud. But anyway, so So if you want to be a grudge Jew, you could be a grudge Jew. But if you're not someone who follows all the shittas of the Gemara, why would you follow it over here? So why does anyone follow the Rambam? So the Ritziner has a long maracha over here to try to explain why everyone follows the Rambam. And he has four or five rayas that the Rambam is correct lahalacha. If you look on page 5, there's four or five, you should know how the Ritziner's sefer works. The Ritziner had three svarim. It's all printed in one volume now. I have it over there if anyone wants to take a look. The first that you want to hand it to me? I just, you see the blue one? The one that looks like Chedetz, yeah. So we'll get to the tying later and why he explains it. He first had a sefer Sfune Tmune Chol. In the sefer Sfune Tmune Chol, it was a little kuntros that he wrote before he ever discovered anything that he believed was tcheles. And this kuntros essentially said that it's a worthwhile endeavor to look for the chilazo. We should be looking for it, and if we and it is possible that we will find it. And that would be a very good thing. Because there were people who believed, and there still are, that it's a waste of time to look for it, either because we lack a Mesorah, or because it's a Haftacha that we're not going to get it back through Yemos HaMashiach, so we shouldn't look for it until Mashiach comes and gives it to us. So he wrote a whole kuntras explaining why it's a worthwhile endeavor to look for it, and why it's not, you know, Bittel Torah or Bittel Zman for him to go scuba diving off the shores of Spain or wherever he went looking for all these different types of fish that produce different types of dye. That was the first one. But he hadn't found anything yet. And then he had a second sefer called Psil Tcheles. In that sefer he says, I got it! I found it! There's a cuttlefish, it's fantastic, it fits almost everything except for the things it doesn't fit, and I can explain away the things that it doesn't fit, I can explain why. And now that we have it, this is how we should tie it, and this is what we should do, because he has to deal with it. And that sefer he sent to everybody. He sent to, if you had the name Rabbi in front of your name, at the time of the Ritzina Rebbe, you got that sefer in the mail, asking for a response. And he got hundreds of responses to that sefer. So many responses that he published a third sefer, Eina Tcheles, which was his response to the responses. Meaning some of the responses were favorable, many were not. Most of them were not favorable because they didn't think the cuttlefish was correct. Some were not favorable because they didn't think his whole endeavor should be undertaken. He didn't think he should... The Beis Halevi's famous response of the lack of a Mesorah is often misunderstood. I shouldn't say misunderstood. There are different versions, but the way he quotes what the Beis Halevi told him was that the Beis Halevi rejected. The Beis Halevi was Rav Soloveitchik's great grandfather, right? That's why they both have the same name, Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik. The Beis Halevi, Ritziner says, what the Beis Halevi told me was that we have a Mesorah not to use cuttlefish. Not that it just lacks a Mesorah. We dafka have a Mesorah not to use cuttlefish. What does it mean we have a Mesorah not to use cuttlefish? He said, if you were to have something that for some reason no one was using, we didn't have access to it, and we had no way of making it, we didn't know how to do it, and it was gone for 1,000 years, and then you found it, so that would be one thing. But you're taking a common cuttlefish that we've had and has been used as a dye and has been available for all this time, and all this time we've had it, we've been using it for dyeing clothing and other things, and no one's used it for tcheles. That is the equivalent of a Mesorah not to use it. Because we had it all this time, we didn't use it. So that's a Mesorah not to use it. So that's what they point out when we found the Murex trunculus and we finally discovered, after literally for 1,000 years, people couldn't figure out how to make the Murex trunculus turn blue, the dye actually become blue. They didn't realize you had to expose it to sunlight. Once they discovered that, so then that takes care of the tain of the Beis Halevi. It wasn't a Mesorah not to use it, we didn't know how. It was lost. The Chachma was lost. Now we have that Chachma. So in this sefer, in the second of his three Svarim, he presents four or five reasons to pass on like the Rambam. He says, first of all, the Sifri is like the Rambam. No, we don't even have to read it. We know why the Sifri is like the Rambam. Why? What does the Sifri say? Chut Echad. And Chut Echad, if you assume the Raivit doesn't exist, Chut Echad means, and he says, you don't even have to assume the Raivit doesn't exist. He says, Chut Echad means, it's clear in the Sifri that Chut Echad means after it's already tied. So if it's Chut Echad, after it's already tied, well, once it's already tied, you have 8 strings hanging down, and only Chut Echad is Tcheles, so that's the Rambam. So you have the Sifri, first of all. V'chein mashma, and by the number two, kashita sarah mashma, slashna zohar HaKadosh. We also have a zohar that sounds like the Rambam. And he quotes the lashon of the zohar. And he says the zohar is actually supported by a gemara in Soto, a well-known gemara in Soto. It's not Gadita gemara. The gemara says, B'schar sha'amar Avram Avinu alav ha-shalom yichud v'atzruch na'al zach l'chud shel t'cheles. That because Avram Avinu told the Melech Sodom, Michut v'atzruch na'al, I'm not going to take anything from you. So because of that statement, he was zocher to the chut shel t'cheles. What does that tell you? One string. Chut shel t'cheles sounds like one string. So the Zohar is backed up by that gemara Masech Sota. What's the problem with this, Raya? First of all, it could be going like the Ravid, okay. He says it's not going like the Ravid because when it says that he was zochet to the mitzvah of chut shel tcheles, it sounds like it's a chut even after it's already a mitzvah. It's only a mitzvah once it's tied. So he thinks it's not like the Ravid. But it's Kabbalah, first of all. Do we take Kabbalah into account when determining halacha? Yes. Well, not if halacha has what to say about it. Meaning if it's halacha against Kabbalah, we pass like halacha. It's only when halacha has nothing to say about it that we go with Kabbalah. And his Gemara in Sota is Nagarata Gemara. We have a klal in halacha in the Meidim Nidivrei Agada. We're not going to learn from Agadata. The first riot from the Sefri, Tosfos was aware of that, and Tosfos says, yeah, but the Talmud Bavli is against it. So I'm not convinced by it. Now, we have no idea what Tosfos is talking about. But Tosfos was certainly aware of that raya and thought it wasn't a convincing raya. A third raya he has from the Gemara Daf Mem Amud Aleph. Sadin betzitzis beishamei prot beisil mechayven v'alach gdir beisilel. Am Rabbi Yimkein lama asrua umas gzerim mishum kala ilan. So the Gemara says you can't put kala ilan, that it's gzerim mishum kala ilan, that we don't put sadin betzitzis in Yerushalayim. And the Gemara says v'lo yehei ela lavan, let it just be lavan. So he says, wait a second. According to all of the poskim that hold that your lavan strings have to be the same color as your beged, my parich v'lo yehei elo lavan. What kind of kash is that? Lo yehei elo lavan. Let it just be like lavan. What do you mean let it just be like lavan? It's klai ilan. It's blue. It can't just be like lavan. Mishum sheinu mitzava atalis. Umizeh ra'ayu ledas haramam d'chut shel tcheles einu tzavu tcheles elechetio. He says that's a raya to the Rambam, that even the tchelas string isn't really tchelas, it's only half tchelas. So lo yehei el alavan, meaning the kala ilan string, lo yehei el alavan, because of the other half of the string. That's the lo yehei el alavan, because the other half of the string is white. And then he has another interesting raya from the Gemara, we're running out of time, from the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Tes. He has another interesting raya where the Gemara talks about, by Kriya Shema Mishe Yakir, to tell the difference between blue and white. So the Gemara says, that what does it mean to tell the difference between blue and white being tchelas and lavan when it's dark, light enough that you can see the difference between tchelas and lavan? Does it mean a clump of lavan wool and a clump of white wool? He said the Gemara says, well, that even in the middle of the night you can see the difference between white wool, a clump of white wool, a clump of lavan wool. No, it must mean two strings, the strings of lavan and tchelas in your tzitzis. So says the Ritziner, what's the difference whether you're looking at a clump of white wool, a clump of lavan wool, versus if you're looking at a string of blue and a string of white? It's the same. The contrast is still the same. But you know what wouldn't be the same? If you had half a string dyed blue and half white, where there's that point where it sort of like shifts over from one to the other. And to see where exactly it shifts from one to the other, that's harder to see. So it's a raya of the Rambam that it must be within one string where there's a shift from one to the other. So that's a raya to the Rambam. Strongest rayas in the world? Not so much. A clump of love and a clump of white, those are big clumps. That's what it's over. Whereas the string is very small. So that's why it's harder to see. Yeah?
Do you not see the
form that changes? Like, it's still a thing. Yeah, also good taina. Then at the end he says, but you know what? I want to pass him like the Rambam, but I can't fault anyone who wants to follow Rashi and Tosfos. The ikar is you should wear tchelis. Doesn't matter, you know, if you want to do like me, like the Rambam, or you want to follow Rashi and Tosfos. Yeah, he says, I'm certainly not here, or if you want to follow the Ravid even, he says, I'm not here to paskin for Klal Yisrael. I'm here to paskin for my chassidim. So I'm going to tell my chassidim what to do, but I leave the door open for other great poskim to say otherwise, and to come up with other shitos. That's perfectly fine, as long as it's a psak like a shita in Rishonim. Aye, Ramras, what about... Baltigra, Baltosev, if you do the wrong thing, you're messing everything up. How could you even try? So So he goes through, it's a very fascinating answer that he gives. He says, if you look at, there's Machlokes Rabbeinu Tam in Rashi, how to wear tefillin, for example. And he says, you're allowed to paskin. Aye, but according to Rabbeinu Tam, our tefillin is pasul, if we wear Rashi tefillin. It's all right. That's how we paskin halacha. You're allowed to paskin halacha, as long as there's a sheet in Rishonim that holds that way. And that's not called Baltigra Baltosif, it's called paskining halacha. And that's perfectly fine. Have a great time on the trip tomorrow. Well, I'll see you later today. But,
yeah. People have two announcements.